The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three. They will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it is going to rain. And so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week I was at our national churchwide assembly as a voting member for our synod in Columbus, Ohio. So when Jesus talks about bringing division and not peace, I can attest to the fact that I was staying in Columbus for a week, divided from my family, doing the work of the church, while Jessica was at home with our four children, assuring me that there was no peace. So there was a ring of truth to what Jesus says to us today in Luke's gospel. This passage sounds jarring, to say the least. It seems contrary to the one in whom we celebrate at the incarnation. At our Christmas worship services, when we declare Jesus to be the Prince of Peace and not one who has come to sow division. Yet before we get to the story of Jesus' birth in Luke's gospel, Mary sings the Magnificat. We hear a word and a gospel of justice that certainly divides. Where the powerful are brought down from their thrones, the lowly are lifted, the hungry are fed with good things, and the rich sent away empty. We live in a world that is burnt out when it comes to division. But peace during conflict where there is injustice is not peace at all. Jesus is calling us to be more than just prepared. That's what we heard the last couple weeks in those parables of Jesus, to be prepared. But not just be prepared, to be willing to enter into something new. That we would no longer want to seek to manage the status quo in keeping lids on various divisions and conflicts that we are managing. That in our hypocrisy, we far too often forget the way of Jesus and our attempts to extinguish the flames of conflict. Has that ever worked out for any of us? Just to try to put a lid on something, right? Thinking it'll just go away, when all it does is eventually just boil over. We succumb to peer pressure in our society and the customer service mentality of consumerism that has plagued the church and making sure that the church is just the place in which we seek to please people, to keep the peace, make people happy. We forget the call to the way of Jesus when we do that, when we make that our mission. Jesus is immersing himself into the division of our broken world. Jesus says, I have a baptism to which to be baptized. What stress am I under until it's completed? Jesus is immersing himself into our dark and broken world. Jesus' journey to the cross seeks to expand God's definition of family, which, as we see in the Gospels, causes division in wider society. And we are called to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, participating in God's expanding definition and understanding of family in a divided society. Now, we can take the words of Jesus and rationalize them in ways in which that can always benefit us, that can celebrate or justify even our division from one another. We've seen it as a hallmark of Protestantism to divide and splinter over the years. We can take these words of Jesus and use them to justify war and oppression of others. We can take these words of Jesus and claim to be the victim, when in reality we are the transgressors. Jesus immerses himself in our division and brokenness, and does it willingly for us, does it for our benefit, that there is a refining fire that Jesus brings to the earth, that in its completion, the whole world would be reconciled to God's self. Jesus sees this through and invites us to this new way, to this new process, for we have a safe passage when we follow the way of Jesus. And in our baptism, we are joined to his death and resurrection, made new, refined by the refiner's fire into a new life, into a new way of being a human being. In that covenant God has made with us in holy baptism, we are claimed, we're given a promise, and we're sent on a mission. In holy baptism, we are immersed into the economy of God's love, into the way of Jesus, the way of Jesus that seeks peace and justice in this world. God's love and the way of Jesus pushes against the status quo. It seeks to break through, and it calls out the broken divisions of this world. Remembering our baptism is a turning away from the status quo. Our backs are literally turned to the world, from the world, and we stand facing our Lord and his cross. We do this literally when we confess our sins. Our backs are turned from the world and we are facing the cross, remembering who has claimed us and loves us, forgives us, and redeems us in holy baptism. This is not something we do in isolation. This is not something that we do on our own, but together as community, as church together. We discern things together, which is contrary to the culture's idolatry of individualism. For example, the way our denomination, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, discerns where God is calling us to make us deliberate and make decisions is in assembly. On a local level, we do this in our congregation. We elect leaders to serve on church council. We have committees, we have teams, we have other things. Our church council makes decisions on behalf of the church. And then as a congregation, we gather together for annual meetings or special meetings to pray and to discern and to make decisions on behalf of our congregation. On a synod level, as part of the Northwestern Ohio Synod, we do similar things. We have a synod council elected by the synod assembly that makes decisions on behalf of the synod when we're not in assembly. And then we have a synod assembly, which is comprised of voting members of congregations throughout our synod to make decisions on behalf of the synod. And where I was just at this week, we had the churchwide assembly. We have a church council, an ELCA church council, which comprises of members throughout our whole church. And voting members from our 65 synods gathered together to discern where God is calling us to next. We have other deliberating bodies, but those are the primary ways that we ultimately make decisions to live faithfully in the present and to move us in the future. No denomination has a perfect system. We're all relying on the Holy Spirit to be working within our process. And personally, I prefer all this to casting lots, right? This is a pretty good way of doing it. But it calls us to a discernment. And there's not always going to be peace in the process. Divisions will be present. But we're always still church together. Our unity is not in our agreements and disagreements. Our unity is always first and foremost at the foot of the cross. I experienced that this week. Even things that passed overwhelmingly were not unanimous. But we're still part of the same tribe, the same family, the same church. We're part of something much bigger than ourselves. And following Jesus, following the way of the cross, we're seeking to heal divisions and not cause them. That is where we find resistance. When the way of Jesus blazes forward, we're seeking to heal and not cause conflict, not cause division. Just in our own U.S. history, from Christian abolitionists to the civil rights movement, those seeking to perpetuate the status quo made accusations of abolitionists and those working for civil rights as the ones causing divisions. But those Christians that entered into those struggles to abolish slavery, to advocate for civil rights, they were seeking to heal a divide, to heal the pain caused by such sinful divisions and oppression of humanity that existed in our society. And we continue to blaze forward, following the way of Jesus, listening to our neighbor. We cannot love if we do not listen. And we cannot know how to serve if we do not listen to those in need. And even in that process of having diverse voices, there were times at our assembly where I was persuaded this week by hearing another perspective. It's enriching to not be on this journey alone, because interpreting the present time requires us to listen and to understand from those who we claim to love and who God calls us to love. At our churchwide assembly, we heard from a rabbi from the Union of Reformed Judaism who shared a story. Two peasants are drinking, and one says to his friend, "Do you love me?" And his friend says, "Of course I do. We drink together every night." The first peasant says, "Then tell me, friend, what causes me pain?" To which his friend responds, "How would I know what causes you pain? I'm just your drinking buddy." To which he responded, "Friend, if you love me, you would know what causes me pain." The rabbi noted that love is to know what causes another human being pain, what makes them suffer, what makes them hurt. Listening, knowing, and responding, that challenges the status quo. That will foster and sow divisions in this world because the status quo wants to prevail. But we are seeking to heal what divides this broken world. Let us keep journeying to the cross, listening, knowing, and responding to the pain of others. This is the way and love of Jesus that continues to blaze forth in this world. For we know the good news that on the cross, Jesus seeks to draw all people to himself. So let us not stay idle, keeping the lids on conflicts and divisions, perpetuating a harmful status quo of injustice, but let's keep moving forward toward the cross that seeks to draw all people to God's self, radically expanding who is welcome in God's firm embrace and in the kingdom that is now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.